ハレイクリシナ
ハレイクリシナ。
ハレーラーマ。
ハレーラーマ。
We will read something from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 11. Lord Ramachandra rules the world. We will read text 23. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Purusho Ramacharitam Shravanayar Upadharayam Anrisham Sya Paro Rajan Karma Bandhayar Vimuchyate. Translation. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here in this material world, everyone is envious of someone else. Even in religious life, it is sometimes found that if one devotee has advanced in spiritual activities, other devotees are envious of him. Such envious devotees are not completely freed from the bondage of birth and death. As long as one is not completely free from the cause of birth and death, one cannot enter the Sanatan Dham, or the eternal pastimes of the Lord. One becomes envious because of being influenced by the designations of the body. But the liberated devotee has nothing to do with the body, and therefore he's completely on the transcendental platform. A devotee is never envious of anyone, even his enemy. Because the devotee knows that the Lord is his supreme protector, he thinks, what harm can the so-called enemy do? Thus, a devotee is confident about his protection. The Lord says, Ye yata mam prapadyante, tams tataiva vijamyaham. According to the proportion of one's surrender unto me, I respond accordingly. A devotee must therefore be completely free from envy, especially of other devotees. To envy other devotees is a great offense, a Vaishnav aparad. A devotee who constantly engages in hearing and chanting, Shravana Kirtana, is certainly freed from the disease of envy, and thus he becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. Purusho Ramacharitam Shravanayar Upadharayan Amrisham Sya Paro Rajan Karma Bandhayar Vimuchyate. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes, will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy, and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschityadishtha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasri Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Vancha Kalpataruvyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Pajitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So, on Tuesday was Ram Navami. I hope you were all there in one of our temples in Lanesha or Pretoria. Because that's a very important day in the calendar of the devotees. Very important day. And even, we have been doing many programs before the day, after the day, here we are today, continuing the same theme about Lord Ram, the appearance and pastimes of Lord Ram, Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, and the lessons we can learn, the significance of these things and how these things apply in our lives. So here, this is Shukadev Goswami speaking. Shukadev Goswami is the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he's making very important point. That is, that if we hear these pastimes very nicely, the pastimes of Ram, and about the character of Lord Ram, because his character, the different features, different aspects of his character are displayed in the pastimes. They are practical exhibitions of different devotional spiritual principles. So here Shukadev Goswami is saying, if we hear very nicely about the pastimes of Lord Ram and his qualities and his teachings, his character, and so on, then we will become purified. Particularly mentions, we'll become purified of envy. Actually, we'll become completely purified. There are so many bad qualities. There's so many materialistic qualities like calm, crowed, lobe, lust, anger, greed, envy, as mentioned here, pride, arrogance, fear. And of course, there's so many all different types of subtle contaminations. They're like spiritual pollution, pollution of the heart or pollution of the character. Just as we have air pollution, we were driving up from Newcastle on Monday, and as we were approaching Johannesburg from the south on the highway, we saw this sort of yellowy light brown, kind of caramel coloured cloud spreading across. And then I realized, we hadn't even seen any buildings or anything yet, but I realized, we're approaching Johannesburg. Because it's very polluted, very contaminated. So there's air pollution, there is water pollution, and all different types of pollutions, just in ordinary terms, day-to-day terms. But there's also, well, of course, there's also physical pollution, meaning when we get a disease or some flu, means something has got inside, something which doesn't belong, some type, you could say, of dirt, and then the body becomes sick. But now here we're talking about a different type of pollution. It is pollution of the soul, it is pollution of the character. But it's very much a pollution. They're very much pollutions, internal, spiritual, pollutions of the person, of the character. So, of course, Lord Ram, and Lord Krishna, and there's so many forms of the Lord who appear in this world. So Lord Ram, he came, he had a mission to kill Ravan, of course. That was his mission. But Ravan was killed. It wasn't such a big thing. One arrow. Of course, very powerful arrow, Brahmastra. But just one. And then that was the end of Ravan, when he and Ram confronted each other on the battlefield. Within 1 minute, it was over. Within 1 minute. So, but today, 2011, such a long time after Lord Ram appeared. Actually, Lord Ram appeared not just thousands of years ago, but millions of years ago, in one Treta Yuga, some millions of years ago, long time. He killed Ravan in a short time. Actually, if he had wanted to, then he did not need to gather an army. And somehow they made some program, they crossed the ocean, and then they attacked Lanka, and the battle went on for some days. And then finally, Ram and Ravan faced each other, and then Lord Ram killed him. Lord Ram, in order to kill Ravan, he could have done it very easily. He is omnipotent. He has all power. He could have simply switched off, turned off the mains switch in the heart of Ravan. It's so simple, isn't it? Here in a big house, you go to one little switch this side, this size, and just flick, gone. All the power. Everything's dead. So similarly, Lord Ram, without crossing to Lanka, simply by remote control, he could have just done that, and it would have been good night, Ravan, and that would have been that. And rescue Sita, just because he is omnipotent. Just pluck her out of Lanka and bring her back, and it's all finished in a second or 2 seconds. He could have done that because he's omnipotent. Anyway, one way or the other, it was not so difficult to kill Ravan. It really wasn't for him. However, today, millions of years later, we're still hearing about Lord Ram. This is what is described here. that we should hear the pastimes of Lord Ram. Ramo Charitam is the term. The nectarian glories of Lord Ram, we should hear those, because there is a quality to that sound vibration. There is a certain quality to it, a spiritual quality, and it cleanses from the heart. Here, envy is mentioned, but also lust, anger, greed, pride, arrogance, fear. I think we have experienced these things, have we? Anyone not? I think we've all experienced these things. Actually, they are more or less rampant in this material world. So since that time of Lord Ram, millions of years ago, to this time, today, people have been hearing the pastimes of Lord Ram and hearing the teachings of Lord Ram and of Bhagavad Gita and so on like this, the Vedic scriptures. People have been hearing through the many generations to this day, and their hearts have become purified. They have become free from those bad qualities. And ultimately, this is the mission of Lord Ram. Not just to kill Ravan, he can do that just like totally effortlessly. Just by thinking about it. Just by thinking Ravan should die, then the desire of the Lord is fact. So, but really the mission is to help people, to give mercy to the people in general, help people to progress and develop their relationships with Him and ultimately come to Him. That is His mission, ultimately in the long run. So here then, this is very important, what is being said here. We are prone to have the disease of envy. We are prone to have the disease of pride. And if someone glorifies us, then we may say, "Oh, what a nice devotee." And just see, you can, he's proof. Then you smile. Actually, he is nice, so it's okay. But still, it's a fact. Someone says something nice, and we feel good. But someone says something nasty, you are a, we will not say. You know what I mean. If someone says something like that, then, it makes an impact in the heart. And we feel some pain. Yeah. So, these things are all connected. Lust, anger, greed, pride, envy. It's like a network. They're all interlaced with each other. If you have lust, you'll have anger. If you have anger, you'll have pride. If you have pride, you'll have envy. Because if you're proud, look at me, I've got my big Lani motor car. And then someone comes by with a more Lani motor car. So you see, from pride comes envy. You cannot really, they're all connected, they're all part of the same program, the same deal. And if you accept the deal, you get all the different parts of the deal. Just like if you accept a coin, you get the head side and the tail side. You cannot really just take the head side and not the tail side. It's a package deal. So material consciousness is also a package deal. But look at Lord Ram himself. Look at Lord Ram himself. I'm assuming you basically know the story, that Lord Ram's father, Dasarath, one of his wives, not exactly tricked him, but just, it just worked out like that, really. She had become influenced by a sort of nasty person. Who was that? Mantara. So she had become influenced by that Mantara, that, oh, now Ram is going to become king. And when he becomes king, what's he going to do to your son? That was Bharat. He'll probably kill him or kick him out or something like that. So somehow, this particular wife of Dasarath, what was her name? Kaikeyi. She became influenced by that. And she thought, yes, I must do something. So, of course, it is a long story. But Dasarath, her husband, owed her a favor. He owed her a favor, like a big favor. She had actually saved his life. And he had told her at that time, just tell me what you want. It's yours. I owe you my life. You just tell me what you want. No problem. But she said, well, let me wait. I can't think of anything right now. In the future, I'll ask you. So now she took that opportunity. She told Dasarath that I want my son Bharat to become the king, and I want you to exile Ram to the forest. How many years?
14 years.
And Dasarath, of course, it was devastating. But what could he do? He couldn't really do anything. You know, because he was a man of honor. Or you could just say, he was an honest man. Nowadays, so many people would say, well, wait a minute. Can we discuss it? Can I make you a counter offer? Or, you know, I forgot. Did I say that? No, I don't think I said that. Or something like this. But he was an honest man. So he knew she's right. And even though it is the wrong thing, but she's right. And I actually cannot refuse her. It's not possible. So anyway, then Dasarath had to inform Lord Ram, who was meant to be crowned the Yuvaraj or the Prince Regent the next day. Dasarath had to tell Ram what is now the situation. And what did Ram say? Did he say, well, look, you know, can we work something out? How much money do they want? No, Lord Ram. Neither did he try to be tricky. Neither did he refuse. Neither did he break down and cry that, oh, I was going to be the king. You can't do this to me. He didn't react in any of these ways. But Lord Ram, when his father told him that, he immediately said, wonderful. And he actually meant it. He was not being sarcastic. He actually said, that's wonderful. You're ordering me to go to the forest? Your order is my life and soul. So thank you. Thank you very much. Because you're my well-wisher, I'm sure it is for my benefit. So I embrace this order of yours. I welcome it. This is the character of Lord Ram. You know what happens normally in these types of situations. Someone kills the other one or does something like that. Just like now in the Ivory Coast, if you keep up with the news, Mr. What's his name? Gbagbo just got booted out. And Mr. Ouattara or something like that has forced his way in. And the question is, who is worse? Which is sort of just another way of saying who is better. But really they're both so bad that it's more just who is worse. And it's definitely not one is good and one is bad. It's not like that at all. So, but here Lord Ram, see his character. See his character. He has just been robbed of not exactly everything, but a lot. And of course sent into exile. After the exile, of course, he could come back, but he wouldn't be the king. So he was just robbed. Really, severely robbed. Have any of you ever been robbed? Anyway, look. Hare Krishna. We pray. It doesn't happen. But, you know, for a materialistic person who is envious and really desiring some prominence, power, a big position, to have this happen to them the day before, wow, this is very severe. It's extremely severe. But because Lord Ram had no envy and no pride and no lust and none of these things, no greed. Of course, he's special. He's the Supreme Lord. But we see it so nicely demonstrated in him that as soon as his father told him, he just immediately accepted wholeheartedly and happily. And Dasarath told him, you have to leave tomorrow. And Ram said, I'm ready to leave right now. This is what you've ordered me. Why wait till tomorrow? I'm ready to go now. So see the character. This is the character of a pure person. Of course he is the Supreme Lord, so he's special. But also, very advanced devotees are like that too. And through the process of, as described here, hearing about the glories of the Lord, Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, shortly will be the appearance day of Lord Nrisinga. Just a few weeks ago was the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So hearing about these wonderful, transcendental, spiritual personalities, there is a Shakti. There is a Shakti in those subject matters, which is completely pure and spiritual, just as there is a Shakti in, for example, praising someone. Sometimes Prabhupada, as a joke, he would say to when he's giving a talk like this to one of the audience, "Oh, you're very nice." And the person would smile. Yeah. So because we're attached to being glorified, we're attached to being glorified. But the great devotees, if we hear about the glories of the Lord, they have that spiritual shakti. Other things like praising a person, criticizing a person, etc., gossiping about a person behind their back, there is some potency, some shakti there. But that is material. Here now we're talking about spiritual shakti. And it cleanses those things out. Just consider the Ramayana. Ramayana, the original, or really speaking, the real Ramayana is Valmiki Ramayana. So, Valmiki, you may know the story of Valmiki. He was just the most terrible person. Killer, robber, and just absolutely hopeless, terrible, dangerous, dangerous person of the lowest character. And again, like so many other things, it is a long story, but he met Narad Muni in the forest, actually tried to hold him up at knife point. He tried to hold him up. "Your money or your life." Something like that. And to his surprise, you know, this was his way of life. This was just his everyday program, robbing people and sometimes killing them. And normally, when he would jump out in front of someone with a knife and threaten them, and people would get all panicky and bewildered and so on like that, and he'd rob them and do whatever he wanted. But now with Narad, great saint, great devotee, "Money or your life?" Narad said, "Well, I don't have any money. I'm just a mendicant. I don't collect money. And my life? Well, look, I am a spiritual person. I am not this body. It is just a material, temporary body. I'm actually an eternal spiritual person. This body will die sooner or later anyway. I'll get another one and then another and then another, and it just goes on. So if you want to kill this body, well, okay, that's all right." And Narada said, "I leave it up to you. You decide." And Valmiki had never heard anything like this before. And he thought, maybe Narad thinks I'm joking. This is just some sort of practical joke, you know, at somebody's birthday party. So he told him, "Listen, I'm serious. You give me your money or I'm actually going to kill you." And Narad said, "Look, no problem. I know you're serious. I know you're serious. But this is the situation." And Valmiki became really struck. "How is it that you're so fearless? What is the cause? How have you achieved this?" And Narad then preached to him, explained these same principles, and told him, "Actually, you know, you've killed so many people and done so many bad things. You will get the reactions in due course, and you are going to suffer like you won't believe. You are just, it is going to be too shocking." And Valmiki became Now he became fearful. And he told Narad, you know, the thing is, I rob people and all this so I can maintain my wife and my children. They should take some of the karma. And Narad said, fine, go and ask them if they're willing. And so he went back to his wife and explained, you know, this is the situation, I'm going to get so many bad reactions, but I've been doing it for you, so would you mind taking some of the reactions? And she said, what? You must be joking. You know, it's your duty to maintain us. We never told you how you do it. You chose to do it this way, so you keep your reactions. So anyway, Valmiki asked Narad, you know, what can I do? You've got to help me. You've got to save me. And Narad said, okay, you must chant the names of God. Valmiki, because he was so sinful, he couldn't do it. He couldn't chant like Hare Krishna. He couldn't say Hare Krishna. If he tried to say Hare Krishna, it would come out all funny. Like Hare K. Hare K. He couldn't utter it because of he's so deeply contaminated psychologically and emotionally. So Narad, being very intelligent, he said, okay, I've got the program for you. You chant the word death, which in Sanskrit is mara. At least it is one term which is used for death. Mara. And Valmiki, you know, is such a violent person. When he heard that, he said, oh yeah, that sounds good. I can do that. So he started chanting, Mara, 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 Mara. And before he knew it, he was chanting, Rama, 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 Rama. He was chanting the name of Lord Ram. And gradually he changed from this most atrocious, ghastly person. He became great, self-realized, God-realized saint. And he compiled Ramayan just before Lord Ram appeared. And he was still living when Lord Ram appeared. And they knew each other. And the Ramayan was existing before Ram appeared. Because Valmiki, just through that chanting and hearing that chanting, even though he had another idea, at least initially, but his heart became completely purified. And he realized the whole Ramayana in his heart, just on the basis of that chanting. This is a very classic example. So the Lord, he doesn't appreciate these things if we have them within our heart. As we said, if you've got one, you've got all of them. You can't take one and leave the others. I will have lust. I will not have anger. You can't do it. Can't do it. So the Lord, he does not appreciate if we have these qualities. He is omnipotent, he is also omniscient, he's all-knowing, sarvajna. He knows everything past, present, and future. He knows us much better than we know ourselves. Much better. And when he sees that we're maintaining these qualities, he's not happy. He's not happy at all. You may have heard the story of Hanuman and the spider. You know that story? They were building the bridge to Lanka. And Hanuman and the other monkeys and bears, you know, big, powerful creatures. They're all going, getting big, giant boulders and mountain peaks and throwing them into the sea, and they were floating. They're building a bridge like that. So there was one spider. And he's just a spider, but he was a devotee. Hanuman's a monkey, he's a devotee. Jambavan is a bear, he's a devotee. So here we have a spider, he's a devotee. So there's a little spider, small spider, and he saw all this going on, he knew what's going on, and he's a devotee. He wants to serve his Lord. This is his life, to serve his Lord. So he saw all this running up and down and throwing the boulders and building the bridge. And he thought, I want to help. I'm gonna contribute to this. So, little spider, what he did, they're on the beach, sandy beach. He started picking up grains of sand, little grains of sand, and running down to the water and throwing it. And then another one. And back and forth. And so there's Hanuman, big, powerful Hanuman, running up and down. And now here's the spider. And Hanuman almost trod on him. It would have been good night spider or something. Actually, if you get killed by the step of a devotee on your head, it would be your good fortune, actually. But anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, actually, he prays, I would like to take birth as an ant in the house of a devotee, in the house of Sandesh. I would like to take birth because, you know, there'll be prasadam lying around sometimes. I will help myself. Chanting and all these things will be going on. I will hear it. And one day there'll be a program, all the people will gather, and there'll be big kirtan. Some of the devotees will be jumping up and down and so on, and one of them will jump on me, squish, and in half a second it's all over. Quick, way to go. But anyway, there's Hanuman, and he sees the spider, wow, almost trod on him, and he sort of had to stumble and somehow dodge, step over the spider. And this was happening repeatedly. Repeatedly. Hanuman's running down with the big boulder, and he has to stop and sort of jump or go the other way to avoid stepping on the spider. So eventually it got a bit much for Hanuman. So Hanuman said to the spider, listen, you want to help? Yes, I want to help. Okay, you want to help? The best way you can help is stop helping. Just get out of the way and let us do the real work around here, okay? Because you're disrupting things. And that little spider, because he's a devotee, very sincere and dedicated, he was so disappointed. He was just heartbroken. However, Lord Ram happened to be just right nearby. And he saw this, and he heard what Hanuman said. And Lord Ram came to Hanuman and chastised him. That you think you're some sort of big devotee doing some big important service, and so everyone should step back for you. Lord Ram told him, I want you to know, I appreciate the service of this spider as much as I appreciate your service. He is doing his utmost for me, according to his capacity, as you are doing. So, don't you treat him like this. Lord Ram chastised Hanuman a bit. Of course, this is also a leela, and we shouldn't think that now Hanuman has become proud, like we may become proud, because he's actually great personality and he's not subject to these weaknesses of character. But still, this happened as a pastime of the Lord, to show us something, to teach us something. It's very important. Very important that we try to take our spiritual lives seriously and really try to take shelter of the Lord and become free from these things. Here in the purport, as we all heard, Prabhupada said, sometimes it happens amongst devotees. One devotee, well, say two devotees, are cooking for some other devotees. Like here, for our program this evening, two devotees may be cooking. One devotee is making the, what shall we say, the Karela. The other devotee is making the beans curry. So, they're trying their best. And then all the devotees are served. And so those two cooks are listening. How are the devotees going to react? So one devotee sitting down, he's got his plate, there's Karela, there's beans curry, takes a mouthful of Karela, and then takes a mouthful of beans curry. So the Karela devotee, the Karela cook, looks at the beans curry cook. Some negative feeling. These things happen. At least it can happen. Even amongst devotees it can happen. What to speak of amongst ordinary materialistic people. So we have to be very careful of these things. How to avoid lust. To see that everything is the property of the Lord for His enjoyment, not for my enjoyment. What's in it for me? That's lust. But to see that, be it members of the opposite sex, be it money, be it whatever it may be, it's all the property of the Lord for His enjoyment. Try and have that mentality. How to become free from anger. Someone does something to you. Maybe someone says something about you. Or maybe someone cheats you or steals something. So you become angry. People become angry for these reasons. But you can think, you can understand. Because in the past, I treated someone like this. Now, as a reaction, I'm being treated like that. As they say, an eye for an eye. a tooth for a tooth. You give, you'll receive. You steal, you'll lose. This is how it works. This is karma. So, just imagine someone walks up to you and punches you in the nose. Bang. Whoa. You'll become angry. You'll become very disturbed. And you know, many people will think, I'm going to get this person. One dark night, I will be waiting around the corner with a club. So people, they become angry in these situations. But the fact is, because you, in the past, you punched someone in the nose, now you are getting punched in the nose. If you had not done it, it would not be happening to you now. So in effect, what has happened really? In one sense, in effect, what has happened is you have punched yourself in the nose. Effectively. It's a fact. So in this way, you can overcome your anger. Understand, it's simply, it's my fault actually that this has happened. It's not that person's fault. I'm not a victim. Actually, there are no victims. There are no victims. There are just people getting their karma. Be it in Japan with this whole tsunami, be it whatever, there are no victims. They don't exist. There are only people getting the reactions, getting what they deserve as the reactions for what they've done in the past. If they had not done it, they would not be going through whatever they're going through. So like this, through transcendental knowledge, if we hear the message of Ramayana, of Bhagavad Gita, of Srimad Bhagavatam, if we hear the message, and if we actually learn, and if we actually apply these things, take up the process, then we will be able to become free from lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, arrogance, fear, and anxiety, and all these things. Actually, this is natural for us because we're all eternal spiritual persons, actually. It is not natural for us to be in this material condition, surrounded and filled with lust, anger, greed, etc. So, but we need to take the medicine. You know what it's like with a child? I'm sure you've had to give children medicine before, many of you. So put the spoon in front of the child's mouth, take it. No. Oh, it's very nice. Take it. No. And in the end, you may have to take the medicine, and then the child may take it. So taking medicine is sometimes, it's not much fun. But still, taking the medicine is the only way to really get cured when you have a serious disease. You can't just relax a little while and it'll go away. You have to take the medicine. So we have to apply these lessons to become free from envy and all these other inebrieties. We have to hear about the Lord. We have to hear. There's a Shakti there. There's potency. It'll cleanse out these things from the heart. And instead of thinking, the idea is, instead of thinking, I am the enjoyer, everything's here for me, but rather, the devotee thinks, I'm Krishna's servant. I should do everything for Krishna. I should not be thinking, what can God do for me so much? But rather, what can I do for Him? And if we actually develop this consciousness, then He'll do everything for us. He'll do everything. If we think, what can I do for Him? So on Monday, right, is Hanuman Jayanti. Hanuman's such a great devotee of Lord Ram. Let me just conclude by telling you one little Hanuman story. Many of you may have heard it before, which illustrates this point. When they return to Ayodhya from Lanka, Ravan's killed, Sita's rescued, they return to Ayodhya. And now they're not just living in the forest, now they're living in a palace with all facility. So Sita, some of the time, when they were in the forest, and particularly when she was a prisoner in Lanka, she had not been able to wear sindur. She had not been able to wear sindur in her parting. But now they're back home, they're back in the palace, all facilities there. So Sita put on some sindur. Hanuman, it appears that in monkey society the ladies don't do that. He had not seen sindur before. So, you know, they'd only been back a day or so, and he saw Sita with this prominent sindur all the way back to the crown of her head, and he thought, wow, what happened to you? So Hanuman asked Sita, are you all right? Did you hit your head? And Sita said, no. This is sindur. I'm wearing it for Ram. And she explained to Hanuman that married women wear sindur in their partings because it creates auspiciousness for their husband. So I'm wearing this sindur for Ram. And so he will have good health and live a long life. I'm wearing it for Ram. It's good for Ram. And Hanuman said, really? It's good for Ram? Oh, I see. Really? And off went Hanuman. And Sita remained there in the same place, and Lord Ram came 1 minute later and is now speaking with Sita in the same place. And just a couple, a minute or two or so later, what should happen but this red figure just jumped out, completely red from head to toe. And Sita and Ram are like, what on earth is this? And then Lord Ram saw it's Hanuman. He said, Hanuman, what happened? Why have you done this? And Hanuman said, well, Sita told me it's good for you. And she's just wearing a little bit. And I want the best for you. So I'm going to just wear it all over. Because it's good for you. And Lord Ram said, thanks, Hanuman. Thanks, but no thanks. It's okay. You don't need to do that. So, but you see, even though Hanuman, he was prepared to just do that for the rest of his life. It's good for Ram. That's it. That's good enough. And, you know, people would have seen him and thought, wow, is he crazy, or, you know, what's wrong?